Good morning.
Good morning.
We're to what I would consider probably the most important part of our service, and that's remembering what Christ has done for each of us. So I'd like to this morning, instead of having prayer at the end or during, I'd like to start before we start the meditation this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can come to you in thanksgiving for what you've done for each of us, for willingly going to the cross and dying and shedding your blood for us. We're thankful, too, that you rose from the dead and you give us hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been kind of a difficult week to try to work on this meditation. I thought I knew what I wanted to talk about several weeks ago, because I thought, well, I'll just continue on the kind of the theme that I worked on before, when Nancy and I sang a song for our communion meditation. The song was, "I Just Keep Trusting My Lord." But the events over the last few weeks made me think a little bit differently. And when you look at the scripture, we can agree maybe with Solomon when he talks about the futility of life. What I want to talk about briefly is death. It's a subject that we prefer not to deal with, especially in our modern society. We've kind of sterilized it. That's not true if you look at history. When a person died, they were usually laid out in their family home, and the family participated and actually did the burial. The kind of morbid thing, if you want to think about it, is little girls' dolls, when they made their dolls, they also got a casket. You know, they played house. Well, they played funeral as well. That's not true in our society. We would prefer to not talk about it at all. Now, we see death on TV and movies. We see the news reports of the things going on, and we can kind of compartmentalize that. But when people around you die, that's a different story. Death affects everyone, whether you're 2 years old or you're 102 years old. It will affect you. Ultimately, you will die. That's what the scripture teaches. And we die because of sin. We've all been disobedient to God. And so no matter how much we want to avoid the problem, it's there. And when a person dies, or when we're dealing with our own death, what we start looking at is our future. What's going to happen next? Well, if you're a Christian, you've made Christ your Lord and your Savior, you know what happens next. If you've never made Christ your Lord, if He's not your Savior, you have an entirely different outcome. And that's the scary part. From the beginning of Genesis, when Adam and Eve first sinned, God made a promise that eventually he would send a Savior. He told Satan, "You will bruise his head and I will you will bruise his heel and he will crush your head." The rest of the Bible points us in that direction. And we see that we cannot save ourselves. Law condemns. And it tells us we need a Savior. And that's what we're here to celebrate today, is the fact that we do have a Savior. That Jesus came for a purpose. He came to save us, his creation. So let's go ahead and take the Lord's Supper here. Let's take the bread first, and you can find this in Matthew and Luke and in Corinthians. But I'm going to look at just Luke, at least partially here. Jesus, after they were at the Lord's Supper, he took a loaf and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, I want you to think for a moment. What do you remember? Most of the time we think, well, he was scourged, he was beaten, he was nailed to a cross. But I want you to think about something else. That's not the burden that he was really carrying. The cross was heavy. But think of the sins of the world that he was carrying. When he was nailed to the cross, it was the sins of the world, your sins and mine. It helps us understand when he would cry out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His body was broken for you and for me. Let's go ahead and take the cup in the same way. And he took the cup after saying, "This cup is poured out for you. It's the new covenant in my blood." Did you ever think that blood would cover your sins? He said, "This is a new covenant." A covenant's an interesting word that the closest, quick, easy word to look at is we might use the word contract. Maybe it's not strong enough a term, but it's a term we understand. During the time period, covenants or contracts, many of them were sealed in blood. And if you watch the Vanderlaan films, he actually will take you through how that worked. You took animals, certain types, they split them in half, the blood ran to the center, and the two participants walked through the blood. And when you walked through the blood, you were saying, "If I don't keep my contract, this is what can happen to me." And the picture of that's with Abraham. He was scared to death. And he didn't walk through the blood. God did. And what God was saying is, if you can't keep the covenant, I'll take care of it. And that's what Jesus did for us. He took care of our sin problem. It's because of Him that we have forgiveness. And it's also the reason we have a new covenant, a new contract, not based on law, but based on grace. That's why Paul was so upset when the Roman church asked him, since we're under grace, can we do whatever we want? And he said, no. When you accepted Christ as your Savior and you were buried with Him, and you was raised from that water, you're a new person. That's the picture. Live that way. And that's really the challenge for each of us. Live that way. Paul adds a little piece to that. He says, for as often as you do this, you show forth the Lord's death till He comes. He may come today, He may come tomorrow, or you may go to meet Him today or tomorrow. You need to make sure you're ready. Like I said, we've had several people die here lately. Nancy received a text from one of her friends, and hopefully I can read through this. She was put in a hospice center because of her illness. She says, I'm here, and they say I won't ever go home. But it's okay. For, like I say, hopefully I can read it. Because I'm going home. To be with Jesus. Now here's the interesting part. She said, in ways, I'm excited. But a tiny bit scared as well. I told the Lord, modern technology. Well, she goes on to say, I told the Lord, here we go. I told the Lord that there's going to be times that I'm going to have to rely on You. And that's what she said before, a couple of weeks before she died. There's going to be times I have to rely on You. Now, where was her hope? And I know there's several others that have experienced the same kind of thing. We've had three or four here lately that we knew that were strong Christian people that knew where their hope lies. The question is, do you know where your hope lies? Your hope has to be in Jesus. That's why He came, and that's why we remind ourselves every week what Jesus did for each of us. and already prayed, and I think I better quit.